then it's about December 20th. So, but if you invest on December 20th into February 15th, you will almost make money every year. And it's something that nobody's mentioned lately. We talk about going into tax loss selling season, but we neglect to mention, oh, by the way, we're coming out of it. So I am seeing a lot of really nice stocks selling on the bargain basement. And I think there's a ton of opportunities.
Bob Moriarty, 321 Gold. What's going on? How are you?
No, I really appreciate the little boost there.
I know you do. So just so all of our viewers and listeners know, Bob and I were letting it rip there for about 10 minutes. And I have Dave Collum to thank for this. He said the best conversations are typically before and after an interview. And Bob and I were just having a great talk. And I just said, man, I got to get this on because we're just already letting it rip. Yeah. So.
Yeah, but you want the bad news?
What's the bad news?
Well, the reason the before and after is so interesting is that when we do interviews, we're really boring.
Yeah, right? Yeah. It's like off-the-record stuff is really interesting.
Yeah.
So let's first talk, we're going to start a smaller micro here. Let's talk about gold and silver first. Somewhat of a year in review. What are your thoughts and what is 2025? What's your mind? What value does gold and silver, specifically silver, have in 2025?
Oh, okay. Now, in the future, I'm going to limit you to four questions in one sentence. Okay. Because I'm sitting here trying to think about, let's say, what's the answer to that question? And you're 2 miles down the road from there. So let's see. Okay. Let me see.
Yeah, my words.
If I can get any of them correct. One of the things that we should have discussed, and we haven't discussed, what is significant about the time now? Okay, we're on the 17th of December as we do that. For resource investors, why is that important?
Tax selling, loss selling event.
And when does it turn? When does it end?
December 31st.
No, it actually ends before that. Okay, it ends about December 20th. So, but if you invest on December 20th into February 15th, you will almost make money every year. And it's something that nobody's mentioned lately. We talk about going into tax loss selling season, but we neglect to mention, oh, by the way, we're coming out of it. So I am seeing a lot of really nice stocks selling on the bargain basement, and I think there's a ton of opportunities. I don't care what people think about 2025 or Syria or Trump or anything. There is a short-term 60-day opportunity in the resource stocks that have been hammered the most, and I hope people take advantage of that. But going into 2025, here's what we've got. We have record highs in the Dow and the S&P. We've got record high in Bitcoin and the other 15,000 knockoffs. And That's a very scary situation to me. We are adding to the debt of the United States $1 billion every 3.5 months, and that just simply is not sustainable. So we're at an exceptionally precarious point in time, and we could see the Biden administration doing everything in their power to screw Trump. So it's we're in for a really interesting month, 2025 looks to be a very good year for resource stocks, simply because Bitcoin and all of its variations in the stock market have been going up like a rocket, and rockets go up, but they also come right back down.
Yeah. Okay. So let's pin a lot of what you say, because I really want to come back to it. We live in a very actually precarious time right now until the inauguration, and I really want to get your thoughts on that. But silver, we were talking off camera. Silver, you said something that you think that it's ready to rip, or I'm paraphrasing. Here's a puppy.
Sorry, I've got to give some love to my pooch.
It looks like my pooch. But you meant...
Bugger off. I'm doing an interview. I can't pay attention to you.
Silver is the sleeper, you said, and you were and I'm paraphrasing, you were expecting it to rip. And when it runs, if I paraphrase, that it really, really runs. Talk to me about silver. And then there's one equity I want to ask you about.
Okay. I argue that if you will buy things when they're cheap and sell them when they're expensive, you can make money consistently without knowing very much more. And it's really funny because I've had guys write me or call me and say, hey, XYZ stock is selling a new low. You know, how do I know if it's cheap or not? And I said, well, wait a minute, you can look at the damn chart. If it's selling at a new low, yeah, it's probably pretty cheap. Okay. So, hey, booger off. Okay, back to silver. Silver has been a sleeper. It hit its high on January 21st, 1980. It almost touched that in April of 2011 when silver was $50 an ounce. Gold was $875, and now we've got $2,600 gold and $30 silver. So in relative terms, you don't have to know which is necessarily going to go up. You have to know which is the cheapest in relative term, and certainly platinum and silver are cheap. Now, the problem with platinum is you don't have a lot of choices that you can invest in, but there's a number of really great silver stocks, and I believe, it's just my opinion, I believe that we're going to have a run in silver like we did in 2011 and like we did in 1979, and silver could go from $30 to $75 or $100 in a couple of weeks. Okay. If people will look at all of the variations of Bitcoin, I have a friend here at France who's invested in XRP, and her cryptocurrency went up 242% 1 month. And that's just extraordinary. My belief is that, one, the DSI absolutely has not indicated a top in either gold or silver. Silver and gold have to go to a DSI of 94, 95, 96, and they're nowhere near that. So I think the silver and gold rally is going to continue a lot higher and a lot longer than anybody realizes. The interesting thing is that the juniors, the lottery tickets, have not gone up because so much money has gone into the general stock market and into the cryptocurrencies. When that changes, and I believe that literally is going to change in the next 10 days, I think there's going to be a lot of money flow into the resource sector, and I think you're going to see a lot of multi-hundred percent advances almost across the board. Gold and silver stocks are really cheap now.
Yeah, okay, so let's talk specifically about some stocks. one of the stocks that I own, just full disclosure, I own this company. It's Dolly Varden Silver. They are not a subscriber or a sponsor of mine. They have not paid me to ask this. I do own the equity. They've sold off here recently. I bought more of them on the dip. My daughter also owns them. I thought they have their project of their two things, or three things that really stood out to me, and I want your opinion. Their project up there is really, I think, the mother lode. They have so much resources in the ground there, and which makes it very, very curious for me and very exciting for me. That's number one. Number two, they're sitting on a war chest of money, so they can make a mine. They can finance that themselves. Correct me if I'm wrong. This third thing, I met the CEO, Sean Kulfing, who I was immensely impressed with in Florida. What are your thoughts on Dolly Varden Silver?
It's the worst name in the world. And I've had this discussion with Sean. Sean and I are good friends. We talk on a regular basis. They own the Dolly Varden Silver Mine, which is very famous. Okay, everybody in Canada knows about Dolly Varden Silver, but they picked up another project that is part of Dolly Varden Silver now, but it's gold rich instead of silver rich. So while they have extraordinary silver resources, they actually have more gold resources than they have silver resources. So obviously the next thing they should do is change their name.
The Dolly Varden Gold and Silver?
Yeah. But in any case, the silver stocks have been hammered. Everybody hates silver. Nobody likes it. We have new record highs for gold. I don't know what the number was. I think there were 28 new highs for gold this year, which is the highest in history, and silver's limping along at $30 an ounce, which is silly. When silver runs, it runs like a greyhound, okay? It just takes off, and you can't possibly catch it. Silver is by far the most volatile metal, and that's true on the upside, and it's true on the downside. And we had a great run in silver into April of 2011. And I wrote a piece that just coincidentally happened to be the very day of the top. And I said, okay, when a commodity does this and goes curvilinear, that's a mark of a top. We're seeing the same thing in the cryptocurrencies. We're seeing the same thing in Nevada. We're seeing the same thing in the Dow and the S&P. So they're saying we are topping. So you have to look at the next big thing, and the next big thing is going to be resource stocks. When investors realize how many cheap deals they are, and Dolly Varden Silver has no reason to be getting hammered, but it's tax loss silly season, and people are unloading shares. And I'll tell you, I think it will be substantially higher in 60 days.
Yeah, I would agree with you. Let's pivot a little bit to gold stocks. You mentioned natural resource stocks. Gold stocks, I know last time I had you on, you were talking about Citgo and gold, if I'm not mistaken. Tell me a little bit about more them. And then for our listeners, and why do you like them so much? Just for full disclosure, I am not an investor in Citgo Gold, not as of right now. I'm not an investor, as well as they have not paid me for this.
Okay, good question. And I've got to give your listeners a little background. That particular area of the Yukon has been quiet for years. Citgo was up there and they were drilling, but they were doing a little bit at a time. And then during the winter, they would go down and they would drill in Nevada. And somebody came in and set up Snowline and drilled the crap out of it. And Snowline was a giant hit. in just 2 years because they were being really aggressive. Sitka has exactly the same kind of deposit, but Snowline is relatively remote, which means expensive. And most of the mineralization has been glaciated, and that's not true of Sitka. So Sitka probably has a bigger resource. I think Snowline's resource now is 7 million ounces or something like that, and that's all developed in 2 years. But what happened in the Yukon was a company called Victoria Gold, and they had a project called the Eagle Mine, and they were in production, and they were doing just fine, and they had a tailings dam failure, a leak. I think the government overreacted and literally forced Victoria into bankruptcy. But there's a mine there, there's a mill there, there's a known resource there, and it absolutely will go back into production. And the only question is who's going to actually run it, who's going to operate it. But the locals certainly want to see it back into production. As a matter of fact, they would like to be the ones who run and own the company. You've got Banyan Gold, you've got Victoria, you've got Sitka, you've got Snowline, you've got several other good, great deposits up there. What's happened overall is the majors have been consuming their young. With $2,700 gold, okay, you could afford to pay more than you could before. I think Banyan gets something like $7 an ounce for gold. That's simply absurd, okay?
That's absurd.
Yeah. So what's going to happen is there's going to be a bunch of mergers or a bunch of takeovers soon in the future, and you're going to see companies go up three or four folds. Back in 2003, 2004, 2005, there was a company called Desert Sun that I went to visit in Brazil, and they got taken over $700 an ounce, okay?
Gosh.
2011, you had a lot of projects being taken over at $300, $400, $500 an ounce. So the majors are going to be forced into doing mergers or takeovers. There's going to be a lot of acquisitions going on, and they're going to go on at much higher prices. So that's a good thing for investors. If they buy when things are cheap and they sell when they get expensive, they can make money.
Bob, that is a great answer. That is a great answer. And it's also equally absurd what you just said. You can take it over at $700 an ounce. That's how much they needed it and willing to pay.
Yeah, that's when gold was like $900,000 an ounce. Okay, that's great. We're going to look at $2,700 gold and juniors with very real resources selling for pennies. We're going to say, how could we have missed this? Okay, that's so obvious. But investors tend to... they trade as a herd.
Right.
And if you can observe what herd does, it's always going in the wrong direction at the wrong time.
Yeah.
So that's right. The stock market in general is very dangerous now. The cryptocurrency is very dangerous right now. Silver, platinum, absurdly cheap. Gold shares, absurdly cheap. So I think there's a lot of opportunity for 2025, and that's totally ignoring the geopolitical sphere. And of course, there's some really scary things going on in geopolitics.
Okay, so let's go there. And I'm just thinking as we were going there, I've had you on so many times, and I think we've only once talked or twice talked really about gold and gold shares and silver shares. We always talk about geopolitics, but you just gave a great 30 minutes there of what investors should be considering. So thank you. So
look, I hope you're recording this. If you screw this up, I'm going to be really pissed.
Yeah, may you all never have me on again. Oh, that was fantastic. That was golden. Pun intended for anybody that's watching and listening. So to all the listeners and viewers, if you don't want any scoop on geopolitics or our opinion, now's the time to leave. So, but I love our talks on geopolitics, and I want what really, let's talk about Syria. That totally caught me off guard. Was not expecting that. As I mentioned off camera to you, I was talking to Dave Collum about that. It caught him by surprise. He made the comment, it's like you put your computer away, your phone down, and you don't watch or listen to the news for a week and you completely miss the train. And that's what happened to him with Syria. What happened? What's going on? And what's your views on that whole mess right there?
I will say, to the very best of my knowledge, there wasn't a single person that I'm aware of who actually predicted what was going to happen and how fast it happened. What happened was something that was set in motion years and years and years ago. Israel has defined all of their neighbors as enemies. And sometimes their enemies are Gaza, and sometimes it's the West Bank, and sometimes Lebanon, sometimes it's Syria, sometimes it's Iraq. It's always Iran. To survive as a nation, Israel needs enemy. But they happen to have a black dog, attack dog, an attack at Chihuahua, okay, at their beck and call, which is the United States, which is happy to pour money into stupid wars. Now, I'll tell you something about Syria that will tell you a lot about what actually happened. And it's something that very few people I know are aware of. Remember when they had the exploding cell phones in Lebanon?
Yeah. A month or two ago.
How long would it have taken to set that up?
What would have taken to set that up? You'd have to have somebody, obviously, in Israel or friendly, be making them and then giving it to the Lebanese.
Okay, but what's the time frame?
That would have to be, I'm going to guess, that would have to be a couple of years, right?
Absolutely. Okay, that's not the thing that happens in 6 months.
Right.
Somebody did that, deliberately planned it out. You can talk about it being a war crime, which it is, okay, but Israel and war crimes are kind of the same sentence. It was effective from a military point of view. Were you aware they did exactly the same thing in Syria?
No.
They did.
Well,
absolutely.
I had no idea.
Yeah. Tens of thousands of cell phones and pagers at small communications radios had booby-trapped batteries. And when the signal was set, they blew up. I have never heard, I cannot think, and I read a lot, I can't think of an attack that was that effective. You had Turkey attacking from the north, you had Israel attacking from the south and the west, and you had the United States involved. And some of this, what is the legal justification for the United States having troops in Syria?
I don't think there is one.
There is not one.
Yeah.
The UN never gave permission. Congress never gave permissions. Nobody's ever asked the question. They should ask the question, what are we doing there legally? And the answer is, we're not there legally. We're there illegally. And what we were actually doing is seizing the oil fields so we could ship the oil to Turkey to be transshipped to Israel. It was a backdoor way of shipping oil to Israel. The United States was sending B-52s okay, to attack Syria in the last week, at whatever possible justification there could be for that, okay, I don't know. But we were talking off camera, and my overall reaction is, it's like walking into an antique store. First sign you see is you break it, you buy it. There is total chaos in Syria. Now, the guy who spearheaded the invasion is actually on the U.S. wanted list, and there's a $10 million reward for his capture, and now all of a sudden he's our good buddy. The Turkish terrorists are attacking the American-sponsored terrorists. So, effectively, we've got Turkey kind of at war with the United States. From a military perspective, it certainly has hurt Iran's ability to ship weapons to Hezbollah. But I think in the overall scheme of things, that's absolutely meaningless, because Iran has demonstrated twice in the last 6 months that they can destroy Israel anytime they want to. So it's one more example of the empire getting involved in another stupid war that we have absolutely nothing to gain from, that's going to cost a lot of money. As an aside, it demonstrates this new move in Israel that nobody's talking about, is to recreate what they call Greater Israel. And that would include seizing Lebanon. That would include seizing Syria. That would include incursions into Iraq, incursions as far north as Turkey, taking over Jordan entirely, and incursions into Saudi Arabia and into Egypt.
Right.
It keeps attacking everyone, and I don't know when the end game is going to occur, but I know what the end game is, and it was written about in the Bible, those who live by the sword will die by the sword.
So I had Simon Hunt on yesterday. I dropped it this morning or last night. He said Jordan's the next domino, potential domino to fall. He doesn't see how they survive this.
Nope, 100%.
And, oh, what a mess. And it just, that's understated. I mean, what such loss of life and destruction, you know?
No, it goes beyond that. This has gotten into absolute evil. Okay.
Yeah.
Some of the war crimes taking place in the West Bank, in Lebanon, in Gaza, are worse than anything I've ever read about in recent history. You have to go back to ancient times, not even medieval times. You have to go back to ancient times to see the cold-blooded murder, massacres, executions for no purpose whatsoever. Now, I was in a war, okay, and I had a lot of people shoot at me, and that was a really giant mistake, because when they shot at me, what do you think I did?
You shot back.
No, I killed them.
Yeah.
Okay, that's the one thing I will not tolerate. You shoot at me, I'm going to kill you. We didn't kill women and children. Why? Why didn't we do that?
Because they're innocent.
No, who gives a shit whether they're innocent?
Tony.
Okay, what possible gain is there by doing that? How is any better off? And the answer is you're not. It's a murder. Some of the things that the Israelis sell T-shirts with a picture of a pregnant woman on the front, and a sniper shooting and killing the baby and the mother, and they say one shot and one kill, or one shot, two kills, and they find that very funny. I find it sick. I find it absolutely disgusting. Anyone who celebrates killing innocent people is evil. Okay. Nobody wants to talk about genocide, because if you talk about genocide, okay, they'll bounce you off YouTube. Okay. You'll be called anti-Semite. Wait a minute. It is genocide. Are you aware that in September, the UN came out with a dictate and said that the 750,000 illegal settlers in the West Bank had to leave, and they had to pay damages to the inhabitants of the West Bank, and all UN members were required to enforce that. Were you aware of that?
I was aware of that.
Okay. Why do you suppose that's true?
Because they want that territory.
Well, it's not a question whether they want the territory. They don't want people to know what you're doing. Okay. And you have to figure out for yourself who controls the press. But the press absolutely did not report that. And that was a very major decision by the UN. So on one hand, you've got the UN coming out and saying, hey, wait a minute, these are war crimes, and we need to indict Benjamin Netanyahu. And then you've got all these NATO countries who are saying, well, yeah, but all he did was kill a bunch of Muslims and Christians. So we're at a very scary time. And quite bluntly, if we would settle the issue, we could have peace in the Middle East for the first time in 100 years. And it's totally insane that the United States keeps paying for this and supplying what it's obviously war crimes for no gain whatsoever. And if you look at the Trump administration and the Make Israel Great Again group, there's some really scary people. Do you understand the difference between the Jewish Zionists and the Christian Zionists? There is fundamental difference everyone should know.
I don't know. I'm not familiar with both, but you tell me the difference.
Both of them believe the same thing. Jews should come back to Israel / Palestine. The center should be Jerusalem. They should rebuild the third temple on the Temple Mount, and then the Messiah is going to come back, which is one of those really great theories. Okay. The Christian Zionists say, okay, when the Messiah comes back, it's going to be the second coming of Christ, and all of the Christian Zionists are going to be raptured to heaven, and everybody else is going to be killed. And the Jewish Zionists say, when the Messiah comes, and it certainly is Jesus Christ, because he was a false prophet, when the Messiah comes, everybody who's not Jewish will become our slave, and we get to live like kings. So you got this basic conflict, but you've got the Christian Zionists that are, there's far more of them, and they're far more powerful, and they have far more money supporting the Jewish Zionists, but they are at loggerheads, and nobody ever wants to talk about that. But yeah. If you want to see if it's a true variation of Christianity, you have to look at, say, okay, when the IDF, when Israel were massacring the Christians in Israel, what did the Christian Zionists do? And the answer is absolutely nothing. And for a long time, 10% of the people in Gaza were Christians. They weren't Muslims. They were Christians. Nobody ever talks about that. And it was quite okay for the Christian Zionists to allow the Jewish Zionists to murder them. So you're dealing with some very sick people, okay? Leaders over there are just absolutely disgusting. Listening to these people advocating the cold-blooded murder of everyone in Gaza, everyone in the West Bank, it was pretty sickening. And of course, you're not allowed to say that, because if you say that, you're an anti-Semite. And the guys calling you an anti-Semite are a bunch of European Jews who have no cultural, historical, or genetic ties to Palestine. Okay, they are Kazaria.
Yeah, no, it's old. I mean, I don't know what to do in the sense of, like, as you said, you break it, you buy it. How do you put this back in Pandora's box now? You don't.
It's a scary time. We haven't even talked about the dirty bomb in New York City.
Well, let's talk about that. Yeah. All these
So,
drones flying all over.
they're American drones. I mean, Trump's the only guy in the government who is willing to admit it. He said the government knows what's going on. Of course, it knows what's going on. They're flying American drones that have nuclear sniffers on them because there are reports of a nuclear weapon loose in New York City.
I heard that.
Yeah,
When,
not
like, corresponds to, not to make any projections here, but you got something really important happening in about a month. Guess stuff will hit the fan between now and the 20th of January.
Is it? Wait a minute. That's some kind of trivial pursuit question. Jesus, Andy, what have I been saying for the last 3 months? So,
Of course.
the amazing thing is, the chances of the landscape totally changing in the next, let's see here, 35 days are like 100%. Now, if there is a nuclear weapon or a dirty bomb in the vicinity of New York City, it will be a false flag. The United States would love to have the opportunity to nuke Russia or to nuke Iran. And they're looking for an opportunity to do that. And I'll ask you a question that pretty much says exactly what the problem is with the Biden administration. Who's running the country?
I know and I don't know.
Nobody knows. Okay.
Right.
No idea. We can watch their fingerprints. Okay. We can see the blood dripping from their teeth. Okay. But we don't know who's running it. But a bunch of crazies, okay, who want World War III are running the U.S. and they're doing some really scary things. And they're trying to paint Trump into a corner. And I'll go you one better. Of course, I was an intelligence officer, and that's good training for thinking things through. Are you aware that a House committee suggested the FBI investigates Liz Cheney for witness tampering, criminal charges against Liz Cheney for witness tampering?
Yeah, I heard that they're she's likely to be charged. Yes. I hope
Okay.
you're.
Why did the Democrats do that?
To put the blame on her and get it away from them.
No.
Tell me.
Easy. Okay. Who has just handed out more pardons and commutations than any president in history?
Joe Biden.
They wanted to point out to Joe, oh, by the way, okay, not only Fauci, but Liz Cheney could be facing criminal charges too. Maybe you should put her on the list. Okay. So I will predict. Let's see if this is true. We need to do an interview after January 20th. Let me see if I know what I'm talking. Let's predict who's going to get a pardon. Can we agree on Fauci?
Yes.
Can we agree on Liz Cheney?
Yes.
Can we agree on the entire Biden crime family?
Yes.
Okay. I think all of those are going to be pardoned. And I think it'd be a blanket pardon, like everything you've done since you were 3 years old is perfectly okay.
That's so absurd.
Okay, you want one more geopolitical thing that's really okay? What happened to the government of France recently?
Implode.
Okay, what happened to the government of Germany this week?
And flooded.
What's about to happen to the government of Canada?
It's about to implode. I was reading it this morning.
Good. I love doing interviews with you. You've got such good, interesting information to pass out to your listeners.
That's the craziest thing. It's all like falls apart after you. I do need to go, but I guess we'll end on that. What an interesting time. I'd actually like to have you on. I'm assuming this passes through the powers that be. I'm not going to edit anything out. I'd love to have you on first part of the new year again.
I'll tell you what I'm going to hold you to. I want to be on just after the inauguration. Of course, the proviso there is if there's an inauguration. I mean, I would not put it past Biden and the criminals, and they are criminals who are running the White House. Would they come up with some kind of bullshit false flag to say, okay, wait a minute, you know, we can be just like Ukraine. What do we need a new president for? We got a president.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I know many people that share your point of view, your theory there. I would, and I'm a coin flip on that. I can see that happening.
Yeah.
So, all right, Bob, I'll put all your, I don't need to those because everybody knows who you are, but I'm happy to, as always, I'll put your contact info, your website in the show notes and all your Wikipedia, but everybody knows who you are. What if things,
bunch of people to come to your page. I'll tell you what. Put up the video, the flight under the Eiffel Tower.
Send it to me. Absolutely.
Damn.
Send it to me. I'll put it up.
Okay. I got one skill. Everybody needs one skill. Okay. And I've only got one skill, but I'm pretty good at it.
It's not gold picking gold stocks.
No. I'll give you that.
Love you, Bob. I want to thank you so much. Bob Moriarty, 321 Gold.
Okay, my friend. Thank you.